All right, are you guys festive? Slightly? Okay. Not really. Not festive. Not so much festive, right? All right, we see power, and I'm talking about real power. Sometimes we get a hint at terrifying power, like terrifying, like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull power, like that, or this, like this. Realistically, from Oppenheimer, okay? Terrifying power. So that kind of terrifying power. Here's the idea. You can flirt with seeing power like that from a very long distance away, from very far off. You don't get close to power like that. You can't. You don't befriend power like that. That power isn't personal to you. Like, that doesn't happen. That's happening. That's crazy talk. So this is what, when you're around terrifying power, this is what you need, and this is what I need, is we need a bunker. We need a blast shield. Just like in the Oppenheimer clip, you lay down and you turn your back to the business. Like when you see power that big. Real power, real, and I'm talking about real terrifying power like that, will rearrange your molecules and scatter them all over. That is real terrifying power. Now there's another account in the Old Testament that captures this, like Indiana Jones and Oppie. And Moses is on a mountain, and there's massive rumblings, and there's clouds, and it's kind of terrifying, and there's the voice, that voice. And Moses has the audacity, like the gall of this guy. Mo has the audacity to say, I'd kind of like to get a look at you. Right? Like, let me see who you are. I would like to get a little closer to the terrifying power. And the voice knows what you know and I know is that you don't get personal with that kind of power. And so, but Moses is Moses. Mo is going to Mo. And he's like, I want to see. I want to see who you are. I want to see who you are. And so God says, okay, you're going to have to actually get inside the mountain. Like you're going to have to get in a cave, like a bunker, like a blast shield. And so Moses does, and the text says in the Old Testament says that God turned his back and passed by while Moses is inside the nuclear bunker inside the mountain. And Mo kind of gets the idea when he comes down the mountain and his face is radiating like a security guard at Chernobyl. Because you and I both, you can only get so close to real power. Not if it's a power worth anything. You can only get so close to a real power. Because a real power will rearrange your molecules and scatter them all over. That's what a real power does. So there's another mountain. This is Mark 9. This was with Pete, Jimmy, John, Jesus. And they get a little preview of how things are going to turn out because Jesus says, hey, this isn't going to make sense. Don't tell people. It's just not going to make sense until I rise from the dead. So they're going to get a little preview of another mountain. And they're puzzled by what he said. They're puzzled, like, what do you mean? What did he mean by rising from the dead? We all know people don't rise from the dead. And they get this little preview, and Pete and Jimmy are looking, and they see Jesus talking to Mo. And they see Jesus talking to Elijah. And this is the amazing thing, is that their molecules aren't scattered everywhere. And if you guys know anything about Mo in his personality in the Old Testament, if you know anything about Moses, he's sitting there and he's new Mo. And he's not beat down. And he's not fatigued. And he's not anxious. And he's not mad at anybody. He's just talking. New. And Elijah's there. And he's not worried or anxious or just wanting to quit it all. But he's there new. And he's talking. And Jesus is, of course, there. It says in Mark 9, brilliant, bleached whites. And so Pete and John and Jimmy, they kind of know that this is a preview of sorts, but they don't get it. They don't understand. Because they don't understand the timeline. But this is really interesting, is like there's an emotion that Pete has, along with the others, but it says that Pete says it. It's an emotion that is more than being puzzled. And he's terrified. Because he knows mountains, and he knows what happens if you get too close to that kind of power. He's not an idiot. And he's terrified. He's so jumpy. Pete is so jumpy. You know what he says in the text? He says this, let's make a shelter. One for you. Everybody gets a shelter. Now, where do I get that? The word for shelter is tabernacle. Like, he's terrified and he's jumping. He's like, oh, we need a shelter. We need a shelter. That's his first impulse when he's close to real power and he saw it. He goes, guys, we need a shelter. Because you don't get personal with that kind of power. You protect yourself before the power gets you.
And this is the amazing thing. Pete doesn't fully know that the shelter is right in front of him. The blast shield, the bunker, the safety is in brilliant whites, and he doesn't know it. Now, how is that? Because we know this, a little bit later, God the Father will turn his back on his very own son, and Jesus is scattered. He's scattered. So that what? You, me, we, our molecules will get rearranged on the last day. Jesus is scattered so that we are regathered. It's the preview. The resurrection of Jesus is what happens. It's the end of the story for all of creation. It's this little preview. You want to know how the story ends? Look there. And he gives it with Pete, Jimmy, and John. You know, it's a power that is so powerful that it doesn't just have the power to blast molecules apart, but to gather molecules and make them new. You know, we don't really have an imagination for a power that big. We can imagine a terrifying power like Oppenheimer, Indiana Jones, that will just blow stuff to smithereens. But can you imagine a power that re-knits and remakes and rearranges and makes things new? That's a power. You almost have to have poets tell us about the power. That's why we had John Updike. Thank you, Sam Carmichael, for working on that. That poem, Seven Stanzas at Easter. Listen to this phrase. This is in Updike's poem. And if we have an angel at the tomb, he's insistent. He's like, make it a real angel. It better be real. Make it real. Weighty with Max Planck's quanta. It better be real. Vivid with hair, opaque in the dawn light, robed in real linen. It better be real. Spun on a definite. It better be a real loom that made those linens. Make it real. Make real molecules really new and definitely real. And the shelter and the bunker and the safety, the blast shield, that is, let me just tell you, you no longer have to worry about that because Jesus himself endured the wrath of God so that you are never in danger of enduring the wrath of God. Okay? He is the blast shield. He is the bunker. He is what? The new tabernacle. So, Jesus will endure the wrath of God so that we will never endure the wrath of God. So that we'll live and talk at peace and ease, just like Mo sitting next to Elijah, sitting next to Jesus, new, made new. And they're sitting with the power himself. And they live, and they're not blasted and scattered by the power. And you will too. You will be made new. You will be made alive. And this is it. It's a power that's personal. It's not a power that is far off. It's not. A scattering power, but gathering all things to himself, new, new, new. So, question. If you knew you had access to that kind of power, would you endeavor to know him? Would you? Pray with me. Our Father and our God. We have no worries. Not really. Because the very power of God poured out on Jesus means that the end of our lives are made new. Sometimes, you know, I struggle to believe that, especially in pain. But would you push up our chins so that we see the end of the story is nothing but your newness? Would you turn our thoughts that we've had of you being terrifying? Would you bring them to you as a personal God who has made peace with God the Father by his own work? We need that. We need that encouragement throughout the day. So give that to us, we pray. Amen.